What's up, everybody? Welcome to SWAT MMA. We're smoking weed and talking mixed martial arts. My name is Jared. I'm here with Paul.
What up?
We're coming to you from the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. On this episode number 73, we're going to be talking about the UFC's bantamweight division. We're going to take a look at Bellator's light heavyweight division. We'll take a look ahead to the upcoming UFC Vegas fight night, which is headlined by Anthony Smith versus Alexander Rakic. And we're going to take a look at a lot of fight announcements. Before we get into that, let's kick it off with our weed of the week.
Smoke weed every day.
All right, this week we have got some shatter we were hitting before the show because honestly, the torch is a little loud to be putting on the episode. So we had some Black Gorilla shatter, which was very tasty, super stony. And the Black Gorilla strain is Bright Berry crossed with, as someone might guess, GG number 4, formerly known as Gorilla Glue, which ties in well because we are also our flower this week we're not really going to talk about. Because we're still smoking on that delicious Gorilla Glue, and Gorilla we broke out glue. Some of the Fire OG. Or I guess we shouldn't call it Gorilla Glue anymore. It is GG4, original glue, regular glue. If you want to know more about that, you can check out the Gorilla Glue review on our sister YouTube channel. Video only on this one. Go to YouTube, type in the Las Vegas Marijuana Experience. Got a nice breakdown of the Gorilla Glue strain. So, is that what we're smoking on right here in this joint? Yep, that's the GG one. We got another one here.
Some Fire OG right there.
This little chillin' with some Keef and some Gorilla Glue in it.
And who knows? Maybe we'll break down and fire up a dab.
It is. I like this little rig. It hits nice. That's a new nail, isn't it? It hit really good.
Yeah. I made the sad mistake of going a little too early. A little bit early and burnt the fuck out of my lungs.
Yeah, you were coughing up quite a bit. I was glad we weren't on air. We've had to stop. Then I hit it, and it just killed my lungs for a minute. Yeah. I can't talk after a while.
I mean, that's what happens to me all the time. Is like I take dabs at night, just take like a fat dab, and I'm like, oh, fuck, dude, I've got coronavirus. I've got shortness of breath. I'm fucking done.
See, I haven't since my I broke all my glass pieces over the... lockdown. I haven't bought anymore, so I haven't been dabbing at all, except when, you know, we're here at the studio doing a show and you bring one of your rigs over. So I do hit the concentrates in the packs 3, but yeah, That's a lot easier on the lungs. You don't get those big a hits.
Yeah,
well, maybe you do because it's a lot smaller amount, you know what I mean? But
yeah, I mean, eventually you get the same thing.
Yeah, eventually you're not blowing out these clouds. Like, I didn't think I was going to be able to clear that little rig there off that last dab. Jeez. Well, whatever it is you're smoking on out there, folks, we hope it is something delicious and hopefully legal wherever you are. If it's not legal,
stop keep smoking up the crack. Faith.
Stay off the crack. All right, man, let's talk about the UFC's bantamweight division. We're coming off Frankie Edgar versus Pedro Munhoz was last week. And we've got Dana White making noise about the next title shot in the bantamweight division, which is kind of a big deal, although last week's fight really doesn't influence the title picture, thankfully. Because sort of, yeah. I like Frankie, but I don't want to see him fight for the title right now. Like, that's not quite where he's at yet. So he ultimately gets the nod in a really close back-and-forth fight that's... Well, I tell you, Paul, after it was over, I remember texting you before the decision came through. I was like, Pedro's got this.
Yeah. You know. And you know what? The thing is,
and you said the opposite. You said, oh, I got Frankie.
Well, here's the thing: when you go into a fight like this, it in the post fight, I listened to Kamaru Usman say something I really tend to agree with. When you run into a situation with a decision like this, where a guy comes out after and goes, "Well, all I know is with the shots I was hitting him with, most people would have gone down." And I understand that, you know, like I sympathize a little bit with that thought. But here's the problem is the judges, when you fight someone as seasoned as Frankie Edgar, who knows how to wear a punch, it's hard for a judge to really see how hard you're hitting him, you know, unless you're dropping him or rocking him, which just never happened in that fight because it was a constant trade.
Yeah, Frankie looked fine.
It was just a trade. It was traded back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. The only real damage we saw came in the fourth and fifth round with the leg kicks, and those are the rounds that he easily won.
And Frankie did cut up Pedro's face quite a bit, too, if you want to talk about some
visible
damage.
Or actually, I'm sorry, the third and fourth, because I had Frankie win the first, the second, and the fifth.
I had it, 2-2 going in. And I wasn't mad about it, though. I was like, okay, that's cool. I was actually happy because I'm an Edgar fan. That's who I was rooting for in the fight on a personal level.
I wouldn't say it's a robbery. I just think it was a coin flip.
Well, it was a coin flip, man. It was super close back and forth. I mean, I don't really think you can make a case that you won the fight because you landed the harder shots. I mean, I get why he would say that, but that's super subjective. Well, how come Frankie didn't win? Because he's got it. He's tougher then.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we've seen people knocked out with shots that didn't look like they were much of anything. You know, tiny little 2-inch hooks and stuff and sleep somebody. I mean, that really doesn't matter so much unless you get the KO or the TKO.
Yeah.
You know, or your damage wears somebody out so bad that their hands are dropping and, you know, things like that. But if you're wearing Frankie the shots like Frankie was,
Frankie's just a seasoned vet, man, when it comes down to it. He knows what he's doing in there. He knows little tricks and maneuvers that are going to get him over sometimes, you know.
And he didn't look bad in that fight. Like, he looked very fast.
Yeah.
Like, especially in the beginning.
Striking
looked great. I mean, like I said, I don't think
his combinations
needs a title shot right now.
That was the difference when you really look at it. It's like when you look at how Frankie fought, Frankie was all combinations, punches landed, you know, jabs, and Pedro was all hooks and uppercuts.
Yeah, and mostly two at the most of the time. And Frankie was always hitting the combos.
Which I think was the difference in the end because when you have somebody who's, you know, okay, so we're going to hit each other with similar amount of punches. But I'm hitting you with three at a time, but you're just hitting me with one every once in a while. You know what I'm saying? It just looks different.
No, I agree. You know, in retrospect, I can certainly see a case for Frankie. I'm not mad about it at all.
See a case for Pedro, too. That was a good fight overall.
Now, Pedro's calling for the immediate rematch, which I don't want to see. It's cool.
Yeah, it's not
I just think the UFC should treat it like he didn't lose.
Yeah.
The thing is,
no one really loses that fight.
No. Now, there's this talk about what's next for Frankie Edgar, which at first I found annoying. But then when I see the matchups in the division now, I guess if Frankie doesn't want to wait, the fight does have a certain appeal. And you know what it is. You know the only fight that the media members are talking about for Frankie Edgar now is Dominic Cruz.
Yeah, I don't like that fight.
I don't like it either. And then I saw someone break it down that, like, pretty much everybody's booked.
Unless you
want him to fight Jose Aldo again, and nobody wants to see that.
I get that.
So
who's Corey Sandhagen fighting?
He's fighting... he's booked against somebody else in the top.
No way, really? Already?
Yeah.
Huh. That slipped past me, man.
Yes, I can't remember who it is right now, but it's one of the top guys.
But here's the thing. When you're talking about a guy like Frankie Edgar, he just beat someone who's in the top five. Why would he fight someone like Dominic Cruz, who's in number 10 guy, and legacy-wise, it's a good fight? But for the division, what, he's going to beat Dominic and then Dana's going to go, wow, dude, you deserve a title shot. No.
Well, yeah,
he needs to beat someone like Corey. He needs to beat someone like Aljo. He needs to fight someone like Marlon, even though they're teammates. And he needs to fight someone like honestly, anyone in the top seven. I feel like 10 is where you get into a situation where, yeah, bantamweight's deep, but, like, I'm sorry, a win over Dominic Cruz doesn't carry the weight that he used to.
No, that's the thing. That's a fun fight if it's later on. But if the name next to number 12 wasn't Dominic Cruz, would we seriously entertain the thought of Frankie taking that fight?
No.
Why would you?
Exactly.
You're coming off title losses at featherweight. You take out the short notice fight against the Korean Zombie. It is what it is.
But yeah.
Before that. And then what? Fight the number 12 guy while you're waiting? It doesn't make sense.
I'd rather see Pedro Munhoz and him rematch than him fight Cruz. It has more title implications if they were to rematch than if he fought Cruz. Pedro Munhoz going into the fight was ranked fifth in the division. And you just can't take him lightly. You know, that's a big win for him. What are you looking at?
I was trying to find out who Sandhagen is scheduled against, but I'm having a hard time finding it now. I just read it. It's just annoying me. I can't remember who it is.
Probably like Jimmy Rivera or something.
I think it might be Rivera, actually.
That's the only person I can think of who doesn't have a fight coming up that I know about. But either way, the thing is, at bantamweight, like, there's so many good contenders that for him to take a fight against Dominic Cruz, I just don't think it carries the weight it would need for him to really get shot up into the title picture. Whereas if he were to fight someone like Sandhagen, or which who they were already scheduled to fight, that's why I think it makes the most sense.
Yeah, I agree.
Either wait for it, or, you know.
Okay, here it is. Marlon Moraes is fighting who? Corey Sandhagen.
Oh, wow. That's a good fight. Yeah. When's that?
October 10th.
Wow.
Okay.
That's a big fight.
Yeah, that's a big fight. That's why both much those dudes are
who's
out.
Who's going to get the shot after?
Yeah.
One thing I want to talk about that happened after this fight was in the post-fight press conference. This all ties in with the bantamweights. What are you listening here, dude?
Got commercials firing up on the phone here on air. That's awesome.
No free ads, bro. No free ads.
All right, we'll send you a bill. Don't worry.
But here's the thing. With after the fight, Dana comes up and he says that Aljo's the guy who's going to get the title shot. But then a little bit after, he does an interview on Sunday morning and says, I'm pretty sure he's the guy.
Why is he so reluctant to give Aljamain Sterling his due?
I don't understand it either, yeah.
It's not like he's a boring fighter.
No.
It's not like he goes out and wrestle humps everybody, which Dana hates.
He's exciting. Fights. Yeah, he's dope.
He's funny.
He's got good submissions.
He comes from a great camp.
Yep.
His team is funny. He's got Sarah and Longo.
Yep.
I mean, imagine.
He's won 7 of his last 8.
Yeah.
And his only loss is to Marlon Moraes.
Right.
And it was like a free KO.
Exactly.
And since then, he's won 5. Like, let's just be honest. He's put the work in.
Peter Yan is like, yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah, I just don't understand why Dana's. But stay with me here for a second. Because I have, since then, I've been thinking about what necessarily Dana could be thinking. And what I, this is a doomsday situation.
Okay.
So let's sounds just pleasant. Say Peter Yan possibly went home after his last fight.
Home being Siberia, Russia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
so
is
he
having,
can't get out of the country?
Which is that, yeah, which are having a lot of like travel bans and shit like that, which is why Khabib can't fight till October.
Right.
So let's just say Peter Yan's like, well, maybe I'll just sit out the rest of the year. You know, maybe I'll just pick it back up next year. What bantamweight also comes off suspension on January 21st?
TJ Dillashaw.
TJ Dillashaw
right
comes
around
out.
The corner.
Exactly. Yeah. Who has also publicly come out on multiple occasions throughout his suspension and said that the UFC has promised him a title shot upon return.
That he has. Oh, man, that'd be interesting. God, that went by quick.
That's what I'm saying. So we're fucking we're flying. Time flying by
division.
With this whole pandemic thing. Every day is it's crazy that we're already on the cusp of the next month already. Dude.
Yeah, that's the thing.
We're almost in September here. That's crazy to think back in March that we'd be still here in September dealing with this kind of shit. But I'm telling you, this is affecting a lot of fights, man.
Well, absolutely.
This whole travel shit.
Yeah.
And I think it's. It's not too far-fetched to say Peter Yan doesn't defend the belt this year. And picks it up early next year, where someone who like TJ Dillashaw, let's not forget TJ Dillashaw also will be coming back with 2 surgically repaired shoulders, so he'll be literally 100% healthy.
And off the juice.
Who's to say he's been off the juice the whole time, though?
Who knows?
I'm just kidding. I want to be that guy.
I don't give a shit. I want to see TJ fight. I don't care if you juiced. That shit doesn't bother me. I'm not a big fan of his, but there's no denying his skill set. I want to see it. So let's see what's up.
Not a huge fan of TJ's, but I still think
he seems like a dick, but
yeah,
you know,
he still got
whatever. You got mad skills, man. He'll fight his ass off. So I want to see him I don't know how we do against Peter Yan. He's a total question mark. You can't make predictions because he's been out 2 years and who knows what's up. But you're right. That could be something that happens. We'll see. We'll see if they announce anything. I'm hoping Aljo gets his shot. He's a cool guy. He's an excellent fighter. I think he could be champ for a while. I think he could.
What do you think sells better, though?
Nice reign. Aljamain Sterling does. People forgot who the fuck TJ Dillashaw is. I mean, especially when you throw in the pandemic in there. Dude, this year feels like 10 years, let alone TJ Dillashaw fighting Henry Cejudo. Cejudo's retired at this point. People are like, who? Oh, that retired dude kicked his ass? You know how short-term memory people are. Us-ins, we're like, yeah, TJ Dillashaw. So sell point, nothing right now. He has to come back and make a noise first. Then maybe he'll come up a little bit. He comes back and does something. Get some wins dramatically.
Who knows? He's not going to come back with the title shot? Whether Aljo gets a shot or not.
Fucking UFC says that shit to everybody, but maybe. I still don't see why they can't give Aljamain his title shot. He was at the point where he was
going after a second belt, though.
Yeah.
And got slapped.
I'm a firm believer that, you know, to be the man, you got to beat the man. And in this case, I think he – I don't have a problem with him getting an immediate title shot. He didn't lose. I mean, yeah, Cejudo kicked his ass at 125. It still doesn't matter. He still held the belt at 35. So
– yeah.
I mean, I'm not a fan of cheaters, but look, he's back. What are we supposed to just be like, oh, no, I don't want to see him fight anymore. He really wasn't champ. He was fucking champ.
Oh, no. I'm not saying so, I don't want not want to see him fight again. I'm just saying I think –
I think Sterling probably beats him, honestly. I don't know about Yan. I think Sterling beats Yan, too.
I think Sterling beats Yan. I don't know if Sterling beats TJ Dillashaw, though. I think he's a little too robotic in the striking to beat TJ Dillashaw.
We'll see what TJ looks like on the return. It's all hypotheticals for now, but it could play out, just like you said. But what do you think's next for Pedro? I think the UFC should treat him pretty much like it was a win and match him up with another, you know, top Jose six, Aldo. Top five guy. Yeah, give him Jose Aldo. There you go. Give him that right there.
Fuck Jose Aldo up.
Dude, that's the fight to make.
He'll fuck Jose Aldo up.
There you go.
Bad.
Yep.
Like bad.
Yep.
Like worse than Peter Yan did. Yeah. I think he'll probably knock him out cold.
Aldo shouldn't be fighting.
I was so surprised fucking Frankie was taking the shots that he was. Because Pedro was smacking him sometimes. I was like, Frankie's
still got that chin, man. Dude's tough. Frankie's a good fighter. He looked really fast out there. You couldn't tell he's 38.
That's what sucks about these kind of fights. Because, like, I feel like Pedro deserves a lot of shine. He's a great fucking fighter. And that kind of fight sucks for that kind of guy.
It does. I mean, Frankie proved he hasn't lost much of a step at all. And so to go toe-to-toe with him like that and take a fight that a lot of people thought you won, there's no, you take damage to your win-loss record, but otherwise, anybody that watches that fight knows what's up.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like Aldo McGregor shit where you're
embarrassed
and shit, you know.
Yeah, true.
So, good on him. I think he should fight Aldo. So, yeah. It hurt your bank account real bad.
All right, so let's talk about the fights we got coming up this weekend. We got Anthony Lionheart Smith.
It's 205 pounders, right? 205ers.
Taking on Alexander Rakic.
In the UFC, Alexander Rakic. He's a...
savage.
He's pretty tough.
Yeah, he's...
I reviewed some fights of his this past week. He's knocked some fools out.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty scary. He's pretty big. He's good size for the division.
Retired Jimmy Manawa, who used to be a scary individual in this division.
That he did.
With a vicious switch head kick. Like, to see him go out like that was rough. Like, rough as fuck. Like, oh my lord, that was bad.
Fighting's tough.
So bad.
Sucks.
So bad.
Manawa was something special, too. He didn't get into MMA till very late in life to make the kind of run he did. I mean... Yep. I think he got in at like 30.
Yeah.
And then now he's like 37, I think, 38.
I think he might almost be 40.
That's some shit.
Now.
Picking shit up at that type of age. I mean, he had some boxing experience, but whatever. But
yeah.
That's a huge
win for him. I mean, he kind of stumbled a little bit in his last fight against No Time. But it was a pretty close fight. I mean, it wasn't like a domination by any means.
No.
And then you look at Anthony Lenhart-Smith coming off of a loss to
Glover Teixeira.
Surprising in a fight loss that, yeah, me. In a fight where you damn near embarrassed. Like, it was pretty bad.
It really was.
It was rough. It was hard. Expecting at the end, he was spitting his teeth out, and like, I don't know. It was just tough.
It was very tough.
I don't dislike Anthony Smith. I kind of like him. I think he's pretty cool. Like, he's a good MMA personality, but this is a really, really big fight for him. This is a turning point. This is where he decides if he's going to go become a guy in this division that is a part of the upper echelon now that John's gone, mm-hmm. or is he going to be the guy who is on UFC Live?
It's a tough spot. He doesn't want the pinnacle of his career to be the loss to John Jones.
No.
You know? And now that John's gone.
And he's got like 70 fights.
Yeah, he's earned his spot. He needs to keep it. I would love to see him keep it, but he's got a tough task ahead of him.
Oh, yeah. Rackage is a live dog. I don't know what the odds are, but I almost would say that Anthony might be an underdog due to his last performance.
That was really tough. Seeing him take a beating like that, that influences my...
From like a 42-year-old man who had just... Although, man, he's... So what is that, four? That's four in a row. Glover's won, and now he's fighting fucking your boy, the Hammer. So,
yeah, good luck with that.
It was just tough.
I really
to
thought Smith was going to win that fight. I wasn't expecting that at all.
No,
remember see we him talked spitting to, out teeth and taking a beating like that was tough.
And like, in all honesty, the towel should have been thrown in on that fight.
Yeah, I felt his corner really let him down.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't blame him. The doctor comes in. He's like, yeah, I'm going to keep fighting. Dude, that's what they do.
Yeah.
If you didn't think you could win, you wouldn't have the intestinal fortitude to fucking be in there when the cage door closes.
Yeah, yeah, without a doubt.
So that's why they got a corner there to be like, no, you've had enough,
yeah,
my guy.
Yeah.
You're spitting your teeth out. You're not going to win.
Yeah.
We're good.
He was down four rounds. Going into the fifth, he had no legs. There's no way he was going to knock Glover out.
Yeah, that's what disappointed me the most. I admire Anthony for being so tough and his corner.
So this is a big chance for him to turn it around, though.
Yes, this is a really, like you said, a very important fight. He can make a statement here that he is one of the top dogs, possibly the top dog. He can make a case for a title shot, you know, with this maybe another big win.
Yeah,
you know,
I think it would need one more.
Yeah, we'll see how it shakes out with the rest of the top and what happens with Reyes and Jan, but this is his time. It could be the start of something big, so we'll see.
Well,
what
light heavyweight's
there.
Wide open now. It's wide open. One thing I wanted to just bring up real quick in light heavyweight. So Dominic Reyes said that Jan Blachowicz is a tougher matchup for him than John Jones.
Well, that's just ridiculous. He's just trying to talk that shit. He also said Jones was left because of him. Like, he's so scared.
He said because Jan is a black belt. He hits harder than John, and he has better technique than John. That's what he said.
That's just silly. That's just
capping.
Salty.
He's capping.
This motherfucker.
That shit is hilarious.
That is funny. That's
hilarious.
I'm glad you believe in yourself, sir.
I fucking guess.
But that's
That's impossible. All right, so let's bounce on down to the co-main event of this card coming up. We got Robbie Lawler coming back, taking on Neil Magny, who's coming off a really great performance.
I like this fight a lot, man.
Yeah, this is a big fight.
Yeah,
this is
good
a big
shit.
Fight. This is really big. This is another one, like we were talking about before. Robbie is in a situation where you're coming off, what, three losses?
Mm-hmm.
Four losses, something like that? And his last one was bad.
It was.
Really bad. Colby took it to him.
Yeah, that was a severe beatdown. But he's Robbie Lawler.
Yeah,
this could be a great fight.
This could be great.
I think that...
On the other side, you got freaking Neil, who was looking rough, but then in his last fight, just completely dominated.
Dude, Magny's one of these guys. I've been watching his career since he was on Tough.
Yeah.
And he's just one of these guys. When he's on, I mean, and this is like a cliched thing to say, but in this case, it's really true. When he's on, he really can beat anybody in the world.
Oh, yeah.
The problem is when he's off, he gets his ass handed to him.
Uh-huh.
But he's got some really good fights, though. He's got some really good wins on his resume. But then it's like when he gets right to that spot where he's going to earn a title shot, he gets beat by somebody.
Yeah.
you know, I think he could beat Lawler here.
I do too. I think this is his chance to beat Lawler. And I think he could go out and get smoked
in like two rounds as well.
He also could get slept. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I find it really intriguing.
Absolutely. You
know, he's a very, very talented fighter. He's underrated. You know, your average casual fan probably hasn't heard of Neil Magny, but he has the
or
tools.
Maybe they have just because it's tough.
Yeah. I don't know how many people are watching that. I mean, that's I always like that show. I'm a sucker for that shit.
Yeah, I still go back and watch them now.
Yeah.
Even though I know the results.
Right. There's nothing wrong with it, man. Ain't nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, this whole card is also just like littered with names and faces that everybody knows.
So much better than the last card.
Oh, yeah.
UFC's been tossing up a lot of hot garbage on these cards. I mean,
they also moved the Ian Kutalaba versus,
Makhmed.
Yeah.
It's a mouthful.
It's tough. Arkalev or something like that.
Yeah, but yeah.
The rematch.
The third booking now.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Fourth, I think.
Fourth.
It's fucking crazy.
The last
one
got knocked out because of the virus.
Yeah. And then it got moved to the DC card. And then now it's here. Crazy.
That is crazy. Well, hopefully everybody makes it to this fight. I mean,
well, that's what's weird, though, is like, okay, so now the UFC has dealt with a few times some false positives. And then the NFL also, over the weekend, had 29 people across all 32 teams that were given false positives also. So, like, this, it's just crazy. Like, I don't know how the... I don't know how they're going to handle this one, especially like football. When this kicks off, when they kick that shit off and like they're going to be testing people and doing all this shit, like it's not like the NBA where the, you know, they've got, what was it, like 13 or 14 teams over in a controlled area where no one else comes in and, you know, they're all hanging out. You can't do that in fighting or football or anything because their roster is fucking 300 people in the UFC. In football, it's fucking, you'd be talking to 5,000 people, close to that, that you'd have to house and make sure they were tested every day in one area. There's just, logistically, you just can't do that. So, like, it becomes a situation where you got to ask yourself, you have to put faith in your athletes that they're going to stay home and do nothing, which is just not realistic.
You know, I don't want to dive too far into football. And I mean, if you look at me on the screen, and I'm clearly a fan, but like the more I think about it,
they're fucked.
That's why
I think the UFC.
Do you really
want to
watch
too.
Football with no crowd?
Oh,
it's
yeah, no,
different
weird.
Than other sports.
Yeah,
the crowd plays a part in
it's
the fucking 12th man, bro.
Yeah.
How many games throughout the history of the NFL have been influenced by the crowd?
Oh, yeah.
So many, dude.
Yeah.
There's stadiums that fucking visiting teams are dreading playing in because of the crowd. They can't hear the plays. They can't do shit. Like, this is a thing, and now that's all just gone?
Yeah. Well, that's why I always thought the UFC would deal with too, because of without the crowd and shit like that. Because you also don't have like one huge thing about I always loved about fighting that I feel is also missing. That is that same thing we talked about with baseball, where I told you that dude hit a grand slam and it was all this music, but just dead silence after. Yeah. It's gonna be that same thing in football and fighting and everything. In fighting, like watching Francis Ngannou knock out Rozenstruik was cool and all, but it would have been so fucking ridiculous if it was a packed T-Mobile Arena.
And that energy.
Like the energy would have been so different. And I feel like sports is kind of missing that now.
It is big time. Let's be honest. We're all happy to have sports come back on. But as far as like the no crowd and the fighting, I'm over it, dude. I don't like it anymore.
Yeah.
At first I was like, oh, cool. You can hear the punches and the coaches. And now I'm like, fuck's sake, man. I appreciated the one BKFC event that had like 100 or 200 people there. I was like, oh, cool. At least we get something.
Yeah. It's almost like the players who are on the bench in basketball have become the crowd.
Yeah, right.
like the same in that same breath, it's like the people who are the corners in fighting have almost become the crowd as well. And like the commentators are almost the crowd now too. Like it's weird. It's a weird dynamic.
And you're gonna hear stuff in football.
Oh, that you don't want to hear.
People don't know. If you're not really into football, you don't know the shit that's said on the football
field. People are
going to
get cracked, motherfuckers.
Like, you don't want that out.
Oh, yes.
And so I don't have a problem with it. Like, you say what you got to say on the football field.
But, like, think about it. Like, there's some corners in this league that are big shit talkers. That, like, there's going to be some, like, straight up. They're just not going to mic everybody up. It's just not going to be possible.
They can't.
Dude. They're going to do what they normally do. They're going to mic up the best player on the field, and everybody knows the best player on the field.
And they're going to have to just edit some shit because you can't.
Well, or pump in crowd noise into the broadcast.
Dude, people just don't know. You know guys like Mark Schlereth. Everybody looks at him, and he's like this great commentator now and all this stuff. You know, he was a Bronco for years. Uh-huh. You know they called him Stinky, right?
Yeah.
You know the real reason they called him Stinky? Yeah, the motherfucker would piss himself and vomit all over the front of his shit mid-game and just be like all functified, bro. Yep. BO'd out, piss all on his fucking shorts and his fucking pants, man.
Yeah.
Like.
No.
You just don't notice that during the game because you get very controlled about what you see and what you hear.
Yeah.
Bro, I mean.
Well, dude.
That was 20 fucking years ago. I mean, what are they doing now?
Shit. Well, that's the thing. I feel like it's going to be policed.
And then is it. That changes the game
up. It does, 100%. Yeah, for sure.
Changes the game up totally.
Especially in football because it's like, it's going to feel like a practice.
It's gonna feel just like a practice.
It's changed the NBA completely. NBA players are playing different in the playoffs. It's weird. They're playing like it's street ball almost. Like very little defense, but like scoring so fucking much. Like there's literally been like last night there was two guys had a 50-point games on both sides. And then you had like Luka Doncic last drop a 40-plus point triple double, which is at age 21. Like there's in fighting, it's the same thing. You know, you're seeing guys who are coming into these fights without the nerves that they had before. Or think about Darren Till, who came out to no music because there was no energy in the room. So he just came out and just like, all right, let's fucking do this. You know, like, it's so... Without the crowd, I just feel like the energy isn't necessarily there.
It's not weird. There, 100%. I don't... It was novel at first, and I'm over it now.
Yeah, a
little bit. It's cool. I'm glad. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm glad we can watch.
Glad we're watching sports for sure. But like,
this sucks.
I do miss
that shit. Sucks, dude. And football without it is gonna. Dude, I don't even know if I'm even down.
Think about it this way: the Broncos play Tom Brady and the Buccaneers Week 4 in Denver. If there's no crowd there, that's gonna suck, man. That's just gonna suck because that's such a big game for like.
Been to Mile High. I've been to games, it's crazy, man. I cannot imagine not having that at the like. You think it makes a difference on TV?
Yeah, fuck.
Fuck, dude.
Yeah,
there ain't nothing like a stadium filled with 80,000 fucking people all basically rooting for the same team.
Yeah,
bro. And being a player on the field with that home team and everybody fucking screaming. Dude, yeah, it's gonna be totally gotta pump you up, man.
Same thing. Same thing when fuck you know. Tie it back into fighting. Like, imagine that Justin Gaethje and Tony Ferguson fight if it had a crowd.
Oh, my God, I know. Everybody fucking screaming, chanting names, fucking, or getting silenced, you know, however it breaks down. I can't wait till we get this shit back, man.
Yeah, it's going to be a while, though.
Oh, but let's shift back into fights here after this ranting. So we got Magny versus Lawler. Let's circle back to that. Who you like in the fight, my guy?
Oh, I'm taking Robbie.
Are you? I'm going to go ahead and pick Neil Magny with the upset here. I like Robbie.
I don't think it's an upset. I think Robbie's supposed to lose this fight. Robbie's like 80 years old, dude.
He is like 80. But and I love Robbie, dude. I want him to win, honestly. But
I do,
think,
too.
But he's I think, you know, we're asking who would I pick to win here. I think Magny's going to get it done.
Makes sense.
Is what it is, man.
Well, let's switch gears a little bit here. Let's talk a little bit about some Bellator stuff coming up.
Bellator making moves lately.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They're making up for lost time.
They had a fight card announcement here recently that's pretty juicy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure we'll get to it because they had a big fight upset here this past weekend.
Yeah, this past weekend we saw the Bellator 244, Ryan Bader versus Vladimir Nemkov, the protege of...
Fedor,
the great one, Fedor Emelianenko. And we saw a fucking beatdown of Ryan Bader.
He kicked the ever-living crap out of Ryan Bader.
He beat the shit out of Bader.
I mean, like, nobody's ever beat
Head
Ryan Bader.
Head kick, knockout.
Dude.
And then proceeded to pummel the the shit out of him, knocking him down multiple times. Some shady reffing going on. A lot of people said the stop, including myself, said the stoppage was way late.
It did go on a bit long.
Man.
I just said he gave Bader every chance to defend that title.
Oh, yeah.
He definitely wasn't going to have anybody say he didn't give Bader a shot.
Shit.
But there at the end, that last one, I mean, Bader was, I mean, face down, ass up on the fucking canvas.
Yeah, he was done. Now, this has happened a couple of times with Bader at light heavyweight. So my question to you is Ryan Bader better naturally at heavyweight than light heavyweight?
That's the first thing that I thought of, honestly, was that Bader'd been at heavyweight for quite a while now. And so he's cutting weight that he hasn't really done in a while, which, as we all know, does affect your ability to take punches. I'm not looking to make excuses or diminish the other dude's win. It's just a thing I thought of. I mean, it could have played a factor here. I think he might be better at heavyweight.
I tend to agree as well. I think Bader...
Bader doesn't pack a lot of fat. But he's muscular, dude. He does. It's not like he's...
Well, you know,
he's not built like Daniel
Cormier. He's not the best, like, heavyweight in the world or anything. But, you know, he's kind of like Brandon Vera in one. You know, he's the best heavyweight. No. I'm saying as far as him compared to the competition.
Okay.
Like Brandon Vera has his niche in one because he knows at heavyweight and light heavyweight he's the best fighter in that company. And at Bellator, I think Bader's the best heavyweight in that company, but I don't think he's the best light heavyweight anymore. With the mix in of Phil Davis, Corey Anderson, even Nemkov, obviously. And which, you know, it's just when you look at his heavyweight wins, they're much more dominant.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at his light heavyweight wins, you look at the Phil Davis fight where coin flip. He fucking coin flipped. Yeah, like, that was, everyone thinks that should have had a rematch. You look at, you know, it's not the same ferocity and straight dominance that he's had at heavyweight that he has at light heavyweight in Bellator.
I'll say it. Yeah, I agree. I think he probably is better at heavyweight. Which, lucky for him, he's still the champ over there. I'm glad they're not talking about an immediate rematch for Bader. I don't want to see that. It was really dominant.
They're already talking about the next number one contender is going to be the winner of Phil Davis versus Loyola Machida on September 11th.
Right. Bellator President Scott Coker coming out saying now that John Jones has vacated, it makes their light heavyweight division the best in the world. Of course, Dana White dismissed that as silliness.
And cute,
he said. Literally, that's cute. And they have a bunch of our former fighters as their top guys. I don't think it's the best in the world, but it's damn interesting, and it's very good.
I think the talent is split, is really what it is. Because Dana's right, though. Calling it cute is an asshole, dismissive way of saying it. But the lion's share of the talent from... in Bellator's light heavyweight division is from the UFC.
It is.
You know what I mean?
There's no denying it, except their new champ isn't from the UFC. So I thought it was kind of ironic that immediately after Dana said that, then Bader gets beaten by a non-UFC fighter. And now their champ is a non-UFC fighter. But I don't think it's the best in the world. But like I said, it's very good. Very interesting.
How do you think Nemkov would fare against John Jones?
I have no idea. I haven't seen enough of his fights.
You should see him fight. He had a really close win against Phil Davis as well.
Well, this division's opened up quite a bit over there as well now.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
Okay. Better question. How do you think Vladimir Nemkov would fare against maybe a Dominic Reyes or a Jan Blachowicz?
For now, I'd say he'd probably... lose, because I think both those guys beat Ryan Bader at light heavyweight.
Think so?
At light heavyweight, yeah.
I think Bader would beat Jan.
He might, but Jan could sleep him too. Bader's been knocked out a few times now.
Yeah, I think I'd actually be very curious. Well, the whole reason I'm asking you these questions is because then shortly after, that same reporter asked Dana, well, what do you think about, you know, now that those guys are gone, the possibility of cross-promotion fights with other light heavyweights, and he just kind of scoffed at the idea of...
He'll never do it, because what if the Bellator guy beat the UFC guy? He'd never live it down. UFC brand would be diminished greatly.
What's happened?
Yeah, you don't want that to happen again. People forgotten about that by now. That old pride shit. So.
Goddamn. Yeah, I don't know. It just sucks, because, like, I just feel like it. I see what you mean. But there's also matchups where they would win, and it would just be a reality of, you know what I'm saying? Like, of MMA, you win some, you lose some. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's some of the other divisions are, yes, the best in the world. But some of them, I do think, have some champions that maybe lose to some of the champions in other organizations. Like, you can't sit here and tell me that, although he is a former UFC fighter, that Horiguchi would lose to fucking Peter Yan. No way. No way. Kareem Horiguchi is the best bantamweight in the world right now. With TJ Dillashaw.
Yeah, I don't think you can deny that.
With TJ Dillashaw out of the picture, Henry Cejudo out of the picture, Horiguchi is the best bantamweight in the world.
Well, Dana White still has it in his head that, I mean, we talked about the UFC's numbers earlier. It's actually closer to 600 fighters under contract right now. And this guy still thinks that all of those 600 are the best guys in the world. And I don't blame him for thinking that, because, dude, 15 years ago, even 10 years ago, you did have all the best fighters were fighting there. And every card was stacked. And that's why everybody tuned in. Nowadays, that's just not the case, man. You got too many fighters. You're too big. Too many cards to have all the best guys on your shit.
Yeah.
It's not true.
No.
You have a lot of the top guys. You don't have all of the best fighters anymore. No. It's ridiculous. So, you know, I get why he says it. I don't think Bellator has the best, but they have some of the best.
Yeah. You know. I don't think any promotion has the best. I think it's...
You just can't really
because
anymore.
Of how the world is now, whether with social media and all the different platforms where you can broadcast fights from everywhere, there's no like optimal earning potential in MMA like there used to be. Yeah, there's definitely, you know, there's definitely things the UFC can offer and one FC could possibly offer you that are going to be bigger than someone like a Ryzen or a Bellator or Combate America or something like that. But if you yourself can promote, can, you know, use those platforms to promote yourself, whether it be through social media or something like that, the earning potential is still there if you're in a smaller organization.
Yeah, for sure. It was funny, we're just finishing up this Spyro G cone here, this raw cone. It's amazing how much better these are, the 1.25 size, how much better these burn than the king size.
Yeah, for
I don't
sure.
know what it is. It's
fuck the king size. I don't like it.
Because the last pack I bought was the king size and it just ran. Yeah. These two have been perfect. God bless them.
God bless them.
God bless them. Well, so, Bellator is making good stuff. Well, we got Lyoto Machida, you know, jumping ahead to a fight announcement real quick. We got Machida versus Phil Davis. There's an interesting fight that's been announced in the same division here. I could see the winner of that fight.
Yeah, they already said the winner is getting the title shot.
That's pretty interesting right there. But again, it is a couple UFC former, you know, title challengers, etc. Whatever. I like it. It's good.
And then you got Kat Zingano making her debut in Bellator on that same night.
Man, Kat Zingano in Bellator, finally.
Finally, yep. Hopefully.
It's amazing. Kat Zingano.
Hopefully everything's together for Kat. Because, I mean,
it's been tough, man. You know, people might just look at her record and think maybe she hit her peak and fell off. But there were so many personal things going on in her life. And it all started, like, you know, with that tough. Yeah. What everybody knows is the Miesha Tate versus Ronda Rousey season. Was originally Kat Zingano Ronda Rousey, because Kat Zingano had just beaten who? She just TKO'd fucking Amanda Nunes. That's who.
Yeah.
You know, people forget about that because since then, I mean, her husband commits suicide. Yeah. She gets that terrible fucking knee injury. You know, she has just this string of bad things happen, and then she's gone out in fights and had weird things happen.
One thing also is, it almost was kind of a good thing that she didn't fight. She's come out since then and talked about that whole situation on Joe Rogan. And she says that she's glad that she never fought Ronda in that season, because she had a traumatic brain injury after she freaking fought Amanda Nunes and just never got it taken care of until a year and a half down the line because she just didn't know.
I hadn't heard that. That's crazy.
Yeah, Amanda Nunes hit her so hard. She had a traumatic brain injury, dude. Like, literally. Like, and she, wow. Like all kinds of weird shit started happening to her body, and, like, that's how it was, like, the effects of that, yeah. Not getting it taken care of and continuing fighting kind of fucked her up. So, like, that's why she's missed, like, a lot of time. She's missed countless fight pullouts and different things.
Yeah, it's just, like this... It's like ever since then, it's just been a string of events that have.
And then she lost to Ronda in 8 seconds. Like, it was weird. Yeah, when
she finally gets to fight, it was just boom, boom. And she ran out, which she typically never fights like that. She just ran at Ronda.
Yeah. And then, of course, gets that weird kick from.
From Megan Anderson. Megan Anderson. Yeah, the toe scratching her cornea.
Yeah.
Doesn't connect with anything but her toenail and her. It was like an eye poke. But it wasn't. It was her big toe, which isn't illegal.
Yeah.
It was weird. Terrible luck.
Yeah, terrible luck.
It sounds like she's...
Turning it around
into something good, which is what you got to do in life. I mean, you dealt what you're ultimately, dealt, and you got to fucking deal with it.
Right? As for her release from the UFC, they grant it to her. She is now headed over to Bellator, and
I really hope she wins, man.
Yeah.
I really do.
And then what's cool is since Bellator, you know, they've been having some issues with getting back going and, getting these fights going back.
Yeah.
So now they're doing actually 2 fights in 2 nights. They're doing this fight, that fight card there with Loyola Machida, Phil Davis.
And that's on September 11, right?
That's on September 11, yeah. And then on September 12th, you got John Fitch versus Neiman Gracie, which is just a great fucking fight. A great fight.
That's a really good fight.
Really good fight. Really
like John Fitch isn't known for getting people excited to see. But again, fighting Neiman Gracie, okay.
Because John Fitch is just going to take him down. But now he's not just going to be able to take him down and do what John Fitch normally does. Neiman Gracie's going to be able to, you know, give him some fits on the ground.
God, I remember John Fitch used to shut people down so bad in the UFC. I mean, they created a term for it. He got fitched.
Yeah.
You know?
And he's done it in Bellator, too.
He has.
And in World Series. He's
older
really...
now, but he's got skills. That's a great fight, though. I like it.
And shit, he had a really close fight with Rory McDonald.
Yeah, he certainly did.
I thought he won. Was it a draw, right?
I'm pretty sure it was a draw.
Yeah.
That was when Rory was coming off that weird...
He still is. I don't know what's going on with him.
He's
coming off a loss to freaking... your boy.
I know. Then he goes to PFL, who promptly canceled their entire fucking season. While everybody else, even Legacy and King of the Cage, everybody's firing up now.
Yep.
BKFC is putting on events, and PFL's like.
Then that new year. That new one in Germany we were talking about before too.
Yeah.
Even they're putting on events. Why can't PFL get there?
We got boxing. You know, we got Lomachenko Lopez coming up. We got all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And PFL is
shutting down.
We were discussing this a little bit before the show. It's like.
And they signed so many great guys over the summer, too, to bring them in.
Everybody's memory is, you know, short term.
Yeah, for sure.
And especially with this pandemic, it seems like time has been stretched out, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, this year has been 10 years, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, jeez. So is everybody going to even remember PFL in summer 2020?
No.
Or 2021?
No.
This is almost like starting to
Will they even scratch. Be a company by then?
Yeah, man. Yeah. You got Bellator now leaving... Paramount and going to CBS Sports.
When's that happen?
They're leaving Paramount in September.
Oh, shit. I didn't even know about that.
Yeah.
That's big.
That's real big. And that makes it even harder for you know, someone else like...
Well, PFL's on ESPN. That's what's weird. Like, PFL has a big contract with ESPN, and they're just not putting on fights. I wonder if that's going to terminate their contract.
That's just what I was going to say. Do they still have that contract if they're not meeting the requirements? Yeah. Just like... We know with the stuff the UFC has that big contract where they got to provide 45 events for it to get guaranteed $700 million.
Yeah,
that's why we got UFC events, not because they love their fighters and wish to employ them. They have a contract to meet, which is fine. That's their fucking job.
Yeah,
you know, but I'm sure PFL has something similar.
Yeah,
they've always. Dude, they have a shady history. You know, I mean, when they used to be WSOF. They had all kinds of weird things going on with Ali and Sifo.
Yeah.
You know.
Being the matchmakers and the owners.
Matchmakers and the owners and the promoters.
Yeah. And the managers.
It's like, for
okay.
I mean, that's why we wound up with the PFL. They eventually just had to be like, ah, okay, we'll shut it down. Sorry.
Yeah. You know. Yeah.
But and I want to support it. I like the idea. I like what they're doing. But
they got investors now. You know, Mike Tyson's in there. You got like people who are actually like putting in some infrastructure for them to possibly get things moving forward, and it's just
this is a terrible mistake
not to put anything else on for the rest of the year.
Yeah,
hopefully they change. I mean, it's not like I could imagine it they could get something going, man.
Dude, at this point you just need an empty place, a cage, and some cameras. I mean,
yeah, no one's fighting. It's not like anyone's but here's the deal though. Does PFL make enough money for $1 million at the end of the year with no gate? No, bro. Sorry. I'm sorry. With no gate? Yeah, no gate? Like
little upstarts like that. Or not.
It's there's no way.
They're basically an upstart. But yeah, they need that gate money. Of course they do.
There's just no way. Handing out $1 million at the end of the year. No. No way, bro. We're handing out $10. Yeah, whoever wins.
We could be talking about their fights and their season, but instead.
No.
Yeah, we'll see.
Sucks.
So,
well, then there's actual serious talent there for this season, too, that they're missing out on.
Yeah, I've heard several of their fighters are trying to get out of their contracts right now because they can't fight.
Yep.
And they're not. They're supposed to be paying monthly money, and what I heard they're getting is $1,000.
That's
stupid. Like their top guys are getting $1,000 a month, and they're like, dude, I mean.
That's stupid.
It's
chump change.
Dude, nobody can live on $1,000 a month.
A month or a week?
A month.
Oh, wow.
No, $1,000 a month.
Oh, wow.
Like, you can't.
Oh, wow.
I mean.
No way. No.
You can't. No, who can live off that? This is America. You can't live on that. I'm sorry. Especially if you're an athlete that has, like, gym dues and fucking a manager. Fucking all these people getting the cut.
Homegirl said she's fighting wherever she wants if they don't, you know, if they don't fulfill their end of the
Kayla Harrison?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's big enough to just be like, F you. What are they going to do, sue her?
Yeah. She can make the UFC make a 155.
Right. She's got some money in the bank, too. I'd imagine having won $1 million season. You got at least a little bit of money to be able to be, you know.
Well, those are the guys that aren't worried about it. It's the guys like, you know, the Brendan Longmane that just
fuck yeah, man.
Passed up on Bellator deals and UFC developmental deals to go to the PFL. And people like, you know, Rory, who just signed a big deal and left one of the biggest promotions to help you get your promotion bigger. Now he's missing out. Or someone like, you know, they got, you know, people like Lance Palmer aren't worried about it because, you know, he's won three of the.
Yeah, imagine you manage to bank some kind of money when you win $3 million. I mean,
it's the guys underneath.
You should have at least a few hundred grand in the bank.
Or about they just signed Abo and Mercier, too. You know what I'm talking about? From the UFC.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like they got guys who will put on, you know, great fights. And they're just wasting their talent. And their money, obviously.
That's too bad. We'll see if they survive this. We got some other fights that came up and announced.
Yep. Headed up back into the UFC. Oh, wait, no. One thing I did want to talk about as well from the Bellator side. Juan Archuleta's fighting Patrick Mix for the 135.
Oh, yeah, title. Yeah. Well, we didn't finish up talking about Fitch and Neiman. Gracie. Yeah. Like, do you want to make a pick on that fight? I mean, I have no idea who wins that. I'm interested to see.
I'd like to see Gracie win just because, you know, just to put him over a little bit.
I'm down with that.
Coming off that real close fight to Rory, too. He needs to get back on track.
He does.
Both guys coming off close fights with Rory, you know, so I'm curious to see how this goes.
And this has got to go to the ground, right?
I mean, without a doubt, yeah. I could imagine it goes right to the ground.
I don't see how this would turn out to be one of those weird things where it ends up being a stand-up war.
Hey, that happens, though, sometimes. A lot of times if people really, really, you know, look at the Usman versus Colby
Covington
fight. You know, everyone thought that was going to the floor. It never touched the ground. Never. No one even took a shot.
You know, on that card also, on the second one, we've got another UFC fighter who I'm a fan of, which is Liz Carmouche, making her Bellator debut the night after Kat Zingano.
Nice.
Is that a 35 or 45?
35.
It is. She's a 35.
Or I've she might even be 25.
Always been a fan of Liz. She did go down to 25 for a minute. Yeah. In the,
which is, you know, and it was a real fucked up situation Liz was in with the UFC. At a UFC promotion and event, she gets her papers. Come on, man. That's fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah, folks, if you hadn't heard, she was out on a promotional tour for the UFC, and then she learns on TV, I'm pretty certain, or the internet, that she's been cut.
Yeah.
While she's out working for them.
Yeah.
That's a real dick move to someone who has been a pioneer in women's MMA.
Yeah.
I mean, she was one half of the first ever UFC bantamweight title fight. She was in the UFC, she was the first openly gay fighter.
Yeah.
In women's MMA, she was a pioneer.
Mm-hmm.
And aside from her, you know, sexual orientation, she's a hell of a good fighter. Like, yeah. Liz Gorilla Carmouche is tough as they come.
Well, and then also, a big part of her getting over to Bellator is she's training partners with Bellator champion, I'm missing her name now. McFarlane.
And she's a terror.
Yeah, she's a beast.
Absolutely.
And, so yeah, I think that's,
no, I think she could go over there and make she's a big impact. I think she could actually win a title over there in Bellator, and I'd like to see her do it. I think she deserves
Unless she's fighting Limale. That'd be weird.
That would be weird.
But they talked about it. That's who Liz wants to fight her last fight of her career against.
Yeah.
Because they're training partners. They can do it, that's weird. It's weird, but it's like it's almost like symbolic too. You know what I mean? Like they're training partners and they want to be like each other's last fight.
Right.
That's weird.
I like it though. I can respect it. You know what I mean? Because that's what they're doing there is an honor and a respect and an ultimate test type thing.
Yeah.
You know. And they're probably both mature enough that afterwards they could still be cool.
Oh, yeah.
You know. I don't know if guys can do that as easy. Women, I think, might be wired to be able to do things like that a little bit easier than, like, two dudes who are training partners and then someone gets their ass kicked. I don't really know if you can go on. It's really hard for that loser to show up every day and still be friends.
Yeah, every day is tough.
That's tough, man.
Like, every once in a while, like, you could it's still tough. Be boys. Like, you'd be like, whatever. You know, like, shit happens. But, like, actually, like...
Yeah, but the way men's best egos friends, are wired...
Like, best friend, like, training partners, I don't know if you can do that again. Yeah. That's where it ends.
Yeah.
That's just where it ends. So let's talk a little bit about the UFC. They've announced a lot of good fights coming up.
What do we got coming up, man?
So, first of all...
Not all.
First of all, unfortunately, due to, you know, your boy Yoel having to back out, we got Anderson Silva stepping in to take on Uriah Hall on Halloween night, which is fucking cool. I like
that's actually a pretty good fight.
It's a good fight. Two guys who fight very similar.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to see a real interesting fight. You know it's going to stay on the feet.
Yeah, there's no takedowns in this fight.
No.
There's going to be a lot of spinning attacks. A
lot of spinning, yep.
A lot of bouncing in and out.
You know, Uriah's always talked about that Anderson's a guy that he's always looked up to. So, I mean, this is... You know, it's Anderson's retirement farewell tour.
Dude, if Uriah Hall really takes it seriously and comes out mentally strong, we have a really entertaining fight.
He could finish Anderson, honestly.
He could. He could sleep him.
Yeah.
If he comes out all trying to be nice and respectful, he's going to get his ass kicked. He does that sometimes, man.
Yeah.
He's a super nice guy. I mean, he's another Tough alumni who's like, he had such crazy knockouts on Tough.
Yeah. Like, and then that fight with him and Kelvin Gastelum for Tough was fucking good, too.
It was. I mean, he had guys leaving a Tough gym on stretchers. Like,
literally.
One of his knockouts, like, I was scared. I was like, oh, my God. And, you know, I think that fucked with Uriah Hall because he's such a nice guy. He felt so bad for that. And some of his fights, like, he's intentionally trying to be, like, nice, which that's great as a human being.
Yeah.
But when you're locked in the cage and fist fighting with people, that's really not the attitude you want to have.
He's been up and down, too, because, I mean, like, look at... Like, when he knocked out Gegard, I was mind blown.
Knocked out Gegard Mousasi.
Bro, like, he's had some huge... He's had the highest of highs in his career, but he's also had some real tough matchups as well.
And it's all mental.
It is, like, for sure. Yeah, he had Paulo Costa. He whooped Paulo Costa's ass.
He sure did.
Like, go back and watch the fight. He was winning both of the first two rounds handedly.
Oh, yeah.
And just completely gassed in the third and lost.
Yep.
Got knocked out. Like... He has all the talent in the world, but if, like, mentally he fades, he just fades. It sucks.
Which is exactly what happened on Tough, and then all these years later, it's still the exact same thing. It's never been fixed.
Yeah.
So.
Hopefully. Well, he's won, He's won three in a row. This would make it three in a row. So
this would be a big.
Let's.
I mean, even Anderson, what is he, 42, 43?
Yeah, this could be Anderson's last fight.
Even still, that's a good win for Uriah Hall if he pulls it off.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
So it'd be a great fight, though. It'd be entertaining. I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. And then a little bit before that, we got Brian Ortega taking on the Korean Zombie. That's another one that's been rescheduled.
Yeah, finally. Now,
finally, yeah. Brian just had a litany of knee injuries in the last 2 years. Slowed him down.
We just saw Zombie just destroy Frankie.
Destroy Frankie, yeah.
I mean, that was
tough. But Brian did the same thing.
It's true. He slept him with that crazy elbow.
Brian was the first one ever to sleep Frankie Edgar.
That was a hell of a shot he landed.
Yeah. So, I'm
curious. That fight had some heat for a minute, but we'll see.
Obviously, the winner here is getting Volkanovski next.
Yeah, I would.
I'd be very curious to see how Brian Ortega matches up with Volkanovski. Yeah. Because I don't know how he approaches it. You know what I'm saying? Like, when he fought Max, I felt like he had all the like confidence and toughness to be in there with Max, but he just fell short technically. And then, like, when you look at Volkanovski, like, he's not crazy technical. He's got a lot of power. And, you know, like, Brian's got a lot of finesse. You know what I'm saying? So I'd be curious to see how he beats both these guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, because Korean Zombie's the same way. Korean Zombie is just like straight will sometimes. He right. just goes out there and wills some of these wins. And, you know, Brian's more of like a finesse, like big home run kind of like fighter. You know what I mean? Like, he's never out of the game. You know what I'm saying? And,
dude. It's an exciting fight. That's good.
This division is real exciting, with Max in there, too. Because now you got to throw Max is going to have to rematch Brian or fight Korean Zombie next. He's going to get the loser, probably, of this fight. And, dude, there's just interesting shit going on here at featherweight again.
I like it. I like Volkanovski as champ, and I like the winner of this fight getting that title shot.
Well, because whenever you get, like, a dominant champion, like, you know, who defends the belt 4 or 5 times, it kind of gets a little stagnant for a second. You know, like, featherweight got a little stagnant when you were talking about, like, who's going to beat Max realistically? You know, after he beat Brian, it was like, who realistically is going to come out and beat Max? And now that Volkanovski's beaten Max twice, and I don't know how, but he's possibly going to get a third time.
Dude, I don't want to see that fight. What?
Like,
Max needs some serious wins before he gets there. And I'm sorry if it was a close fight, but at this point it doesn't matter because a loss is a loss, as we all know.
Here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with running it back a third time later on.
Yeah, later.
Because the result is always going to be the result. Two decisions. You know?
Back to back. You lost twice. Yeah. Back to back. It is what it is.
You always can get a third time when you lose to someone in a close decision. You're not going to get... It's not like Max got finished. I thought Max got robbed, but the facts are that he now has 2 losses against him, and now if he does get another win, it's not like in other divisions where you lose the champion twice and it was, you know, blown out of the water and no one ever wants to see that again. You know what I mean? Like, I don't mind watching Max versus Volkanovski again. Do I think it should happen next? No. But yeah, I think there's still tread on the tires for him to get back to the fight is what I'm saying. He's not out of the division.
No, he's not. I agree with that part. I just, at least one win before we see this shit again. Maybe 2. Depends on what goes on with the screen.
So you think this is for sure the number one contender fight?
Yeah, I like Zombie to win it too.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do.
I don't have a hard time disagreeing. I mean, Zombie's a seasoned vet. I think it's his time.
I think he's on fire right now.
I think it would be real tough for Brian to lose this fight. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be I'm curious to see the buildup of this fight after all the shit that happened before they fought when they weren't scheduled to fight.
I mean, there was heat there, but it's died down. I don't know if people, with everything that's happened since then, I don't know if people remember.
Well, there's been apologies on both sides and shit like that. And it's like, so how much fire does this really still have?
Jay Park is dropping, you know, big music. Now, I don't think they really want to dredge all that nonsense up. You know, I don't think Jay Park wants it dredged up.
No.
I don't think that Brian Ortega don't want it dredged up because he was the worst looking out of all.
Yeah,
of it.
Exactly. So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's really, he looked like a fool.
So, and Zombie is not really the type of guy. I mean, he can't even speak English, so he's not going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for him to just go out and shit talk him.
So, I mean, I think we're good. Yeah. I think that story's dead, is my point.
So you're taking Zombie, huh?
I'm taking Zombie.
Just to be against you, I'm going to take Brian.
Be that way, man.
Just to, you know, spice it up a little bit.
I'll rub it in extra when I win.
All right, so then let's move down a little bit later into the year. So now we've got an announcement for a big middleweight fight between Darren Till and Jack Hermanson.
Ooh.
Obviously pending some medical issues with Till. Everything is pointing towards 100% recovery with no setbacks. But, you know, with the human body, there's always chances for setbacks. Yes. But he'll be taking on Jack Hermanson on December 5th. Huge middleweight fight. I mean, both guys.
Dude, Jack's really tough, man. We've met that guy. Yeah. He's big in person. He's super fucking solid.
He's coming off Till's a real, really big real, too. Real good performance against Gaslam.
Yeah, I mean, he went out and just made it look like child's play out there. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. Short we work. Love Kelvin over here, but he got smoked, son.
I think Darren needs to spend some time on the mats before this fight.
Yeah, he better, because Jack's no joke. No. I mean, they might call him the Joker, but he ain't fucking around.
Yeah, no. Jeez.
Darren Till, but I hope he don't get his fucking heel snatched up like that.
Real quick. That was quick as fuck.
So,
but Jack needs to be careful on the other side, though, because Till carries the power. Yeah,
Darren Till's elite. Yeah. It's a good fight. This is top-level shit right here.
Absolutely. Well, then you look at this, and then you look at you got Jared Cannonier and Robert Whittaker fighting, really, for the number one contender spot. So this is kind of the next man up fight. You know what I mean?
I would figure something like that, yeah.
I like Till,
ultimately, as well. Hermanson's a cool guy, super tough, but Darren Till, I think, you know.
It's his time.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if he loses again here so soon.
If he loses again, it's going to be back to the drawing board for sure, though.
Yeah.
Might have to take some time off, let some things pan out.
Maybe check out a new camp or something. But we're not there yet. Not there. I think he's going to win this one.
Yeah. And then we'll close it out a little bit here with the biggest fight announced. We got Amanda Nunes taking on Megan Anderson for the 145-pound strap on December 12th.
Megan Anderson gets her shot.
Yep.
And that's all it's going to be.
A shot?
It's an attempt.
You think so? You think it's going to be a flat-out domination, though, or do you think she'll actually give Amanda something?
It depends on Amanda, because she's taken this thing lately where, similar to John Jones, where he wants to beat people at what they do, she's taken that attitude lately as well.
Yeah.
That she wants to. So, I mean, it just depends. Is she going to toy with her?
Yeah.
And try to, you know, match skill set against skill set and see who's better? Or is she just going to come out there and just dominate her and knock her silly?
Yeah.
I don't know. It could turn into a scrap depending on that. But I think, look, nothing in history has pointed to Megan Anderson being able to beat Amanda Nunes.
Yeah.
I think she's a great fighter. I wish she'd been in the UFC longer. I wish there was more 145-pounders, because after Nunes wins this,
there's not going to be very
There's nobody fight. Left. That's the whole division. You done beat all of them, and half of them were bantamweights that didn't feel like cutting.
Mm-hmm.
So we might as well retire it. I mean,
well, and look at the UFC once again, just like hitting us with the curveball. Everyone swore it was Aurelia Aldana versus Amanda for the 35-pound belt.
Right.
And he's like, ah, psych, watch this.
That's why I think they're doing it. I think this is it. I mean, what more can you ask of the UFC? They did a whole season of tough for the 145ers.
And then all of them moved to 35.
And then all of them, including the winner, went to fucking 35.
Yeah.
So,
because Chris Cyborg was there at that time.
What are we supposed to do here?
Yeah, it's like, nuts.
Just move all of Invicta up to the UFC level.
Pretty much.
Amanda's going to mow through them, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think this is it. I think this is the last hurrah. She will go down as the only champ to have defended two titles simultaneously like that. And she'll probably be the only one to ever do it in the UFC now, because the only reason it's possible is there's
because she's completely cleared out both divisions. Yeah.
And the 45 is like six 5-4, 3-2.
The only one who would have any chance to do this ever would be John, and he relinquished his belt before he had the chance to.
Yeah, so it's that'll hold in the history books, and good for her. She deserves it. She's the greatest female fighter of all time. Definitely in the top 10 greatest fighters of all time, I would say. So good for her.
I think she's been the greatest woman fighter of all time in the UFC.
Quite some time now.
And ever, I think, actually.
There's nobody she hasn't beat. She's beaten every other single champ that I mean, she beat Ronda, she beat Misha, she beat Cyborg.
She beat Holly. She beat everybody. She beat Pennington. She beat fucking everyone.
She dominated.
Kat Zingano, she lost. Ha.
Well, yeah.
And didn't avenge shit. So now she's got to move to Bellator in 10 years from now.
Well, good for her. Making some history. She's got a baby on the way, too, with her girlfriend.
Yep.
She's, like, super pregnant.
Yeah.
So that's got to be happening soon.
Yeah.
So good. Congratulations to them. Good for her on making UFC history.
Yep.
I think that about wraps the show for the day.
Yep.
We're going to get back to smoking this these dabs here. Hope you're smoking on something good. If you're new to the show, you can catch us on WBUZ 95 on radio.net and the Orange Radio app. The station has been down. It is coming back up here. They just had some, you know, problems with the pandemic, people getting taken out. Yeah. Things that were happening right as a rebrand was going on, but that is coming back. That's why we keep announcing it, even though it is not currently up. It will be soon. Things are swinging back into normal, and normally that's where we are. Radio.net, Orange Radio app, Thursday, 6 p.m. on the West Coast, but everywhere else that puts out podcasts, you can find our show, from Spotify to Apple Podcasts to video on YouTube. And there is one single place that has all of that information put together.
SwatMMA.com, where you can grab one of these t-shirts and support the podcast.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Peace.
See ya.